Right. How many people's heads are completely fried? Right, okay, last session, last day of TechEd. Unfortunately, traditionally, this is actually my session. I mean, every year when I come to TechEd, I tend to get the last session on the last day, or conversely, I get the first session after the Geek Fest. Okay, and both of those are basically the worst sessions that you can actually get. Obviously, because of the first session in the morning, people have hangovers and they tend to sleep in. So just on that note, does anybody here want me to talk a little bit more quietly? Just in case, okay. And the reason this is usually the second worst session is that most people have got flights to catch and they tend to, you know, drift off, etc. So anyway, this is the upgrading to SharePoint 2013, and they were very fortunate that they gave these out last night. So for this session, I'm going to be the upgrade bandit. Okay, I can see the eval nails, right, bad jokes. But we're going to be the upgrade bandit, okay, and see what we can, in fact, that's going to kill the mic, so I won't be the upgrade bandit. So anyway, my name's Wayne Newington. Most of you have probably seen this a few times, okay, I've got a few certifications, been at Microsoft for a while, SharePoint Ranger, used to do house renovations, put on a bit of weight, hence I eat all the pies, yada, 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 okay. Contact details are up there, okay? So just on that note, if anybody does want to contact me, please don't hesitate to ping me an email. I do usually respond. It may take a little bit longer. I mean, I know I've got one of my clients in the room at the moment, and I do need to get back to some of the emails that one of his colleagues has sent me. But, you know, at events like TechEd, you know, it makes it a little bit harder, but I do guarantee that I will get back to you. So that's just a little, you know, soft note to one of my clients that I'm working with at the moment. So, what are we going to do today? Really, the session goal about this is really to try and get a better understanding about what exactly is the upgrade process. Okay, so I'm kind of assuming that most of you are here because you've seen all the cool stuff that we got in 2013, you're on a previous version, okay, and now you want to get to the cool new stuff in 2013. So part of that is trying to understand exactly what is the upgrade process and what are we going to do about that. So what I thought I'd do is, from an agenda perspective, is kind of give you a bit of background and history behind some of the thinking about how we do an upgrade to 2013, and then take you through what is the high-level steps and actually what is the actual process for doing the upgrade to go through on that. So let's have a look at a bit of background and history, okay? So we're going to, we've got a television show here called Survivor, right? Where people get sent to an island, okay, and they have to do all these different types of tasks, and then the tribe has a little bit of a powwow, they have a bit of a discussion, and then they decide, you know, who's going to stay and who's going to go, and it comes down to be, you know, usually one or two winners that we've got on that. So we're going to do the same type of thing. We're going to play what we call Upgrade Survivor. So we're going to look at, you know, going back from 2001 to 2003 to 7 to 10, going right through to 2013. So how many people here actually used 2001? Okay, a few hands. How many people had to do an upgrade from 2001 to 2003? Okay, I feel sorry for you, Jen. Okay, it was a very, very painful experience. So just on that, how did we get, we had a couple of options for doing an upgrade. Does anybody remember what they were? Okay, it's not a trick question. Sorry? Yeah, close. So basically, we had a couple of options. We had the migration tools. So essentially, these were some, you know, little kind of wacky type tools, which was basically what Victor here was saying, which would kind of do this wacky thing and uplift from 2001 and take you through to 2003. The other thing we could do is do what we call an in-place upgrade. So what you do is that you take your 2001 farm, okay, then you install the binaries over the top, okay, and then, woohoo, you had a 2003 farm. So it was pretty cool. So, you know, we're playing, you know, Upgrade Survivor here. So obviously, you know, they had a bit of a powwow, and they decided to vote somebody off the island. Who do you think they voted off the island? Migration tools, yeah. So that was the end of season one, okay? But this was a pretty boring game show. We've had the first round, okay, and we voted one somebody off, and now we've got nothing else to do. So they thought, let's kind of introduce some other ideas that we can do here. So, what did they? What was the other ones that they brought in? Yep, database attach. Yep, that was new. Yep. And on-site migration, exactly. Or it was called gradual upgrade. So the idea being here is that you could do the in-place, so you could take the same farm, okay, install the binaries over the top, okay, and woohoo, you suddenly had a 2007 farm. And they decided to do that a little bit differently with this gradual upgrade approach. Okay, so this is why this, you know, guy's got the camera, he's pretty flashy. So the idea being here is that you could take your 2003, install the binaries up on top, and then you could then say, oh, I only want to upgrade this particular web application, or what was the equivalent thereof of that. And so you could actually run them side by side. So it's pretty cool, quite a neat idea, had a lot of fun. So the new one they also introduced was the concept of doing this database attach. So you could stand up a completely new farm, okay, so you stand up your 2007 farm, you take your database from 2003, attach it over, okay, and woohoo, do the upgrade and take that forward. Pretty cool. So, the tribe had another powwow, okay? The tribe spoke, and who did they vote off the island? The DB attach? Who thinks DB attach? Okay, who thinks it was in place? Okay, who thinks it was gradual upgrade? Okay, the people who put their hand up for gradual upgrade are correct. Pretty flashy, but too flashy, okay? It used to cause a lot of pain, and we basically didn't like people doing that. It used to cause a lot of issues, primarily because we used to have two versions running side by side. You used to have to support 2003, 2007 running in the same farm. So the tribe spoke, and they went through to the next round. So now, you know, we're in a 2010 type environment, and we want to go from 2010 through to 2013. Tribes had a powwow, had decided to have a bit of a vote around this. Who thinks it was in place? They got voted off the island. Okay. Who thinks it was database attached? They got voted off the island. A couple of people. Okay. So, unfortunately, although in place had come right through from the very, very first round, he got voted off the island. So what this basically means is that from going from 2010 to 2013, we've now only got one approach, database attach. Okay, so there's actually some interesting connotations associated with this. Essentially that we need a new farm, okay? So this is basically the whole premise behind how do we do our upgrades. We need to stand up a new environment and take that forward. So if we have a look at the upgrade process that we've got then, there's essentially three, possibly four steps that you need to do. You need to provision up a new farm. We're doing a database attach, right? So we need to actually stand up a completely new 2013 farm in order to do the database attach from 2010 through to 2013. So provision the farm, attach the databases, and then we do this funny thing called upgrade site collections, which is a little bit wacky, okay? So what we've got is that we've got a new different type of approach for how we do the upgrades. So we can attach the databases, and then at some point in time later, we can then upgrade the site collections that are actually inside those databases if we wanted to. Now we've got a question remark around claims migration. Any ideas what that is? Claims is a new default, exactly. Okay, so you probably would have seen during the week if you've come to the SharePoint track that claims is the default. So when you go into the central admin now, you've only got one option to create a web application, and that's to be in claims mode. The only way you can create a classic mode web application 2013 is via PowerShell. And when you do that, you do get a warning associated with that. So the new default mode is claims. So what this means is that if we're going to go to 2013, we may need to migrate over to claims as well to make use of the way that 2013 is actually working in there. So let's go take a step back and start working through some of these processes. So the first thing we need to worry about is provisioning the farm. So we do have some prerequisites associated with this. The SharePoint servers need to be Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 onwards. Okay, that's the new stood up. Obviously 64-bit because it's R2, kind of goes without saying. Now here's the killer. There is to be no previous versions of SharePoint installed on those servers? Absolutely none. It will not work. And now there's a very, very good reason behind that. As part of the installation, what we do is that we lay down the 2010 files as well. So if you've already got like a 14 root there, it's going to fail. Because what we do is part of the installation, we lay down the 15 root and we put in the 14 root files. Now, I've actually got a bit of a side question, okay? Now, this, we've got two passes left to give away to the SharePoint conference next year. Who can tell me, and you have to put your hand up, why it's called the 14 and the 15 root? This gentleman here was first. Okay, so why was 2003 called the 60 hive? Okay, we'll go for this one, then I'll go for you first.
It was changed to reflect the new Office Wave or the Microsoft Wave.
Okay, so why was 2003 called the 60 root, 60 hive? I'll go with the gentleman at the back. No? Okay. They don't like 13. They don't like, okay, we'll come to a story on that. Okay, so you know how we love to hide the SharePoint files in this lovely directory, right? You know, web server extensions, you know, common files, you know, yada, 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 yada. Okay, so the idea behind it is that it's meant to be based on what version of IIS you're running. So that's basically you're doing extensions into the version of IIS. So it was put into version 6.0, but they didn't like to have the dots, so they called it 60. Okay, so it was all really well and good. So for 2003, it was put into the 6.0 or the 60 root. Okay, when we released SharePoint 2007, okay, God, I'm getting my versions. 2010, sorry, I get my versions confused here. When we released version 2007, that could also run on Windows Server 2003 as well. So hence the issue there was that we couldn't have it as being 60, so they made it 14. In fact, no, I got my versions completely wrong. When we went to 2007, that was running on Windows Server 2003, couldn't put it in 60 because that would conflict, so they put it into the 12 directory. Okay, when we bought out 2010, we jumped a version, went to 14. 2013, we went to version 15. That's the reason behind that. So I'm going to hold on to this until I get another question. Okay. So from a database server perspective, okay, so what we need is SQL Server 2008 R2 SP1 or SQL Server 2012 or SQL Server 2012 SP1. Now, the general recommendation here, which I'd kind of suggest you go with, is to look very seriously at SQL Server 2012 SP1. I'm trying to give this away. Can anybody say why I would recommend that? We'll go. No, you get that in SQL Server 2012. Okay, not with SP1. You get it with SP1 as well, but not just because of that. No, you get that with either version of databases. Come and get the ticket. Okay, so that's exactly the reason. So with Service Pack 1, we've got some additional BI functionality, which you only get in Service Pack 1. So if you are going to do the BI stuff, then obviously go with the Service Pack 1 on there. May save a little pain trying to upgrade your database later on. So the other thing that we need to worry about as part of getting this new 2013 farm stood up is that we need to get hold of all our 2010 customizations. Guess what causes most of the upgrade issues? Customizations, right? Because, are there any developers in the room? Okay, cool. Who's written bad code? Oh, you have as well, I know. Because all code is evil, right? So most of the things that are going to block your upgrades or cause issue with the upgrades are going to be the customizations that you do. So what this means is that you do need to go out and find all those customizations. And your developers have done these all as WSPs for you, haven't they? Hopefully they have, okay? Hopefully they have. Unfortunately, not all developers are that good, particularly if you start letting developers onto your farms. and they'll start doing some tweaks and modifications that you may not be aware of. They could unintentionally or intentionally drop some additional files onto your farm. So this is going to cause a problem, when you try to attach the databases and start trying to upgrade those when you go to 2013. So what this means is that you do need to go through and somehow identify what are the customizations that you've got. So this is something that I do. What I do is I compare all of the servers that are in that particular farm. And what I look at is I run a comparison against all the virtual directories, the 14 root, and what's in the global assembly cache, okay? What's actually in the cache there. So I go do a comparison against all of those different servers against what is the difference in there. And you'll be surprised how many different customizations you will identify. Like there will be sometimes there'll be changes to the web.config file that it's only on one server, but it won't be on another server. And that could explain why sometimes your farm's not behaving properly. Okay? The other thing that I like to do too is look at the patched level that your farm is currently on. So what I'll then do is stand up a patch, a vanilla farm at exactly that patch level, and I will once again compare those virtual directories, 14 root, and GAC against that vanilla farm. What I'm trying to do is find out exactly what other customizations that I've got. Okay? Something to do, because this will come back and bite. So, once we've got all of those, we kind of assume that we go through and we deploy all those customizations into that farm already for us. The next step that we go through and do is that we attach the databases. So, this is a little bit different from what we could do under previous versions. So when we did the upgrades and did the database attaches in previous versions, there was only one or two databases or types of databases that we could attach, primarily the Content DB. So what they've done is that they've gone through and made this the only way to do an upgrade. So hence we've provided additional support to upgrade the other databases that you've got associated with that. So if we look through the first ones, so what are the supported databases? Config database. Okay, who thinks yes? Who thinks no? Okay, good. Okay, exactly. We've never, ever, ever supported the ability to update or attach a configuration database. That cannot be done. Does anybody know why we can't do that? Sorry? It's a different farm, but what's really the main reason behind that? Different structure, different core. There's actually some machine-specific information that's actually contained within the configuration DB, and that will not uplift and take through to another environment. So this makes it quite interesting, too, from a BCM perspective, which is you can't mirror your configuration database to another farm. You can only mirror it or replicate it within the same farm for exactly those reasons. So the next thing we look at is content databases. And this is probably really the main thing that people tend to worry about and they've got the most concern about is getting our content databases and being able to attach that. So we do provide support on that. So that's all good. The other thing we can do is take through the search. We do support the search admin database, but we don't support the property and crawl databases. Now, people went to Neil's session yesterday. He went through the upgrade process, so I'm not going to worry too much about that. But essentially what it will do is that it will take that through. Now, you're probably worried about what's going to happen with regards to the properties. Okay, the properties are actually stored differently in 2010, so it's not actually a big deal. Okay, the crawl databases are actually really just a temporary one that's used during the crawl process, so you don't want to take that through anyway. So, you know, that's not actually not a bad issue. The other one is the managed metadata database. Now, the guideline here is that if you're going to take or upgrade your managed metadata database, do this before upgrading the user profile service application. I'm trying hard. This is the last ticket. Well, actually, I might hold on to that. We're a bit early, okay? But you can answer the question. Why is that? It's along those lines. So essentially what we've got, if you've got a user profile property, which can be a made-up list, okay, that's actually stored in the managed metadata service application. So that's why if you haven't provisioned a managed metadata service application, you go in the user profile, and you look at the edit the properties from the central admin side of things, you may see a little error message saying, we can't view the properties on here. So generally, as a guideline, if you're going to do the user profile service application, you always provision the managed metadata service application as well. And hence, when you go to do an upgrade, you need to upgrade the managed metadata service application first so that when the user profile, it can then connect through and you still establish those links with that. The user profile. So we can upgrade the profile and the social databases, but we don't support the sync database. Once again, this is just used as a transactional thing as part of doing our synchronization when we do the imports, et cetera. Business connectivity services, pretty straightforward, that will connect through. Secure store, that will connect through. However, make sure that you know what the passphrase is, okay? If you don't know what the passphrase is, you're going to lose all that information that's in there because it can't decrypt it again. So as part of the process, you do need to get the passphrase in order to retain the passwords that are actually contained in there. Performance point databases, once again, they will come through. And the project databases. So how many people here are using Project Server? Just out of interest. Okay, a couple of people. So what will happen is that the four Project Server databases that you have in 2010 will get merged down to one database as part of that upgrade process. Okay. The next thing that we look at is how do we go through and attach the content DBs. So what basically happens here is that we've separated the upgrade process from the way that the sites are actually upgraded in there. When we attach the content databases, the only thing that we're doing is updating the database schema, and that's it. So the stuff that's actually inside there is not being upgraded, just the schema of the database. Now, the reason behind this provides a faster database upgrade mechanism. Makes it a lot cleaner, makes it a bit easier to do. The other thing, too, that we do associated with this is that we do provide fidelity back to 2010. So what this means is that when you upgrade from 2010 to 2013, attach the databases, because we've got all the stuff sitting in the 14 root, it looks and feels and runs exactly like a 2010 site. Okay? You may not notice, provided that all your customizations work and all of that. Now, just a bit of an interesting side story on that. When 2013 was being released, we're coming through to the end of about this time last year, and people were saying, oh, looking at the betas, it looks a little bit dodgy, it's taking a little bit of time to go. This product's not going to be ready to be launched until, February, March, April this year. What was actually quite funny was that Office 365 got upgraded around about August of last year to the RTM build, and nobody knew. Okay, nobody knew that it had been upgraded ahead of time, primarily because of this approach, because we could actually have this full fidelity back to 2010, and it looked and functioned exactly the same. But we're going to go into a bit more detail about how that actually works. So just a couple of things that we need to be a little bit wary about, particularly from a DBA-type perspective. There has been some security improvements. So we've got some new application roles in there. So we've provided in some, SP access, SP reader-type roles in there. So that essentially means that as part of the upgrade process, we don't actually require the DB owner role anymore, which, sometimes the DBA has got a little bit edgy about. And when you tried to go to something like a least privileged type farm, people didn't like having DBO associated with that. The only thing that we still require DBO for, though, is for doing the upgrade process. So that's something that will actually happen there. The other thing, too, is that the different service accounts that we got won't actually have schema modification rights anymore. So as part of the role change, that bit changes as well. Now, the good thing, too, is that as part of doing this upgrade or doing the database attach through, we've also made some enhancements to the content databases and the way that we work on there. So somebody mentioned something about shredded storage before. That's one optimization that happens. So what will happen is that if you've got, okay, let's take it back another story, okay? The way that SharePoint works in previous versions prior to 2013 was that if you've got a document which is like 1 megabyte large and you've got 5 versions of it, there would be 5 versions of 1 megabyte stored in the database, okay? So that used to have some interesting connotations from a capacity perspective. I take it everyone knew that, right? The way that the versioning works. So it didn't actually do the deltas, et cetera. So what we've come up with a slightly different approach, which is what we call shredded storage. So what will happen is that the document or the blob will actually be split up into multiple chunks. And only if that chunk changed will that delta be stored back into the database. So we do have some better optimizations around that. Now, so people go, great, that means that when we go upgrade from 2010 to 2013, all of my data is going to be shredded, okay? And that means that my whole content database sizes are going to go down. Unfortunately, no, okay? So this is one of those trick questions. When we do the database attach, we kind of shred the storage, but we don't take use of that for the different versions. It's only when you do an update to it do we start then chunking it up and start going into the shredded storage approach. So initially you won't see a reduction as part of doing this database attach. The other optimization we've got is the sparse column support to allow for wider lists. So essentially the way that SharePoint works from a database perspective is quite wacky. So you can have a single, you've got a list item in there. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to correspond to exactly one database row, because you can add multiple columns into it. So what we do from a database perspective is that one list item could be spread over multiple database rows, okay? Which is why we have some thresholds and some throttling issues around, you know, how many extents we can go down before it escalates into a table lock, etc. However, to get past that, what we've got is that we can make use of some of the new data types, which is a sparse column support, which means we can actually go a little bit wider and makes, you know, better use, so we can actually have more database rows that we can go over. So the first thing we do is that we need to do this test SP content database. In fact, this is what you should be doing, running this test SP content database. So what this will do is that when you take your 2010 database, and you then want to upload it or attach it to your 2013 farm, the first thing you should really run is this test SP content database, and it will go through and identify what are the potential issues that you may have with that database being attached. What you can also do is that you can also run this back in your 2010 farm as well. So that's one of those recommended guidelines that you should do. You should, as part of doing this, is run this in your 2010 farm, because this PowerShell command is available in 2010, as well as run it in your 2013 farm as well. It doesn't have to be connected to your farm. You can just have a database setting on SQL Server, and you say, I want to test this particular database against this web application, and tell me what the issues are. So what it will do is it'll go through, look at things such as what are the missing features, templates, site definitions, web parts, you know, what are those missing customizations that you've got. It'll look at what are the site collections in the content database, but on the configuration database, and look at all the site maps, and list them down. Now, the key thing about this is that if you've got issues in your test SP, if you get any issues being identified this, you should really, 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 really get them fixed and resolved before you do the complete mount and actually attach it into your farm. Because there is a couple of little gotchas around that, which I'll cover off shortly. The other thing you can do, there is another parameter in there as well, which is show row counts. So what this can do, if you're worried about some of the capacity issues with this, you simply add this additional parameter in, and it will give you some additional information about, you know, what are the row sizing metrics associated with this content DB. Yeah? You can do it on a running content DB. Okay, that's absolutely fine. And like I said, the database doesn't actually have to be attached to your farm either. It can just be sitting there, nobody knows about it, and put it through. Same as a restore type process. The next thing we do is that we execute the mount SP content database. Now this will initiate the content database upgrade. So it'll actually start going through the upgrade process for us. What it will do, though, is that it will run some internal consistency orphan checks for you. Now, this is the killer. If you've got any orphans in your content database, and what I mean by an orphan, it could be something like a site. So it's quite, believe it or not, it's actually quite easy to create orphan sites within SharePoint. Nobody's ever come across these, have they? It's actually very easy to do. I can show you a script to do it, how to kill a farm. And if you've got any other like user objects or something like that, so if you've got like a user object that's in there and they've been taken out of the AD, that's regarded as being an orphan object, and hence they won't actually be upgraded as part of this process. So this is really the reason why you need to go through and clean up everything as doing the test before you actually run this mount. It will also go through and run these compatibility checks as well for you, and it's essentially performing the test SP content databases again for you. Okay, so that's what we're basically doing here. But note, all it's doing is upgrading the schema. It's not going through and upgrading your sites. They will come through, and if you got all your customizations and all that deployed correctly, it should look exactly like a 2010 environment running in a 2013 farm. Should. So, claims migration. We've kind of alluded to this. So, as we know, 2013 is by default claims. So what this means is that if you have got a classic mode web application and you still want to use classic authentication, it will work, but there is some issues associated with that. Now, the next question you're going to ask is, what are the issues? Unfortunately, there's not a public list of exactly what the issues are. There are a few things that will break, okay, and will not work as expected, but there's no definitive list of exactly what those are that we can publicly release, unfortunately. And I know a lot of people have been asking for it. There's been a lot of conversations on some of the DLs that I know Victor knows about exactly, you know, asking for what exactly are these issues. You know, some people know about them, some people don't, but just be aware that there is a few issues with that. If you're doing forms-based authentication, that will work exactly the same because that's essentially doing claims-based, and that will work exactly the same as 2010, provided that you do deploy your provider with the same name in the 2013 farm before you do the database attach. Kind of makes sense, right? Shouldn't be too hard. Now, authentication mode by default should be claims, and we do know that there is some issues with running claims in a 2010 environment. Okay, so just be aware of that. In fact, actually going with claims in 2013 also changes some interesting behavior with regards to the way that throttling works, but that's a completely different talk. Okay, so claims migration. The real key point around this is that you should not do this at the same time you're doing an upgrade. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Do not do this at the same time you're doing an upgrade. You should really treat the migration from classic to claims as a project in its own right. Then you should treat the upgrade from going from 2010 to 2013 as another project. Don't do both of them at the same time. The reason behind that is that if you come across any issues, etc., there may be some confusion around whether or not it's a 2013 issue or is it a claims issue. The other thing, too, to be wary about is that migration is a one-way street. Once you convert your web application, which has got your content database, etc., associated with it, from classic to claims, you can't go back from claims back to classic. Okay? I've seen some blog posts which have stated that you can. It is not supported. It will break some stuff. Okay, so do not do it. Once you go from classic to claims, you're in claims. And you've got to get that resolved, which basically means that if you're going to do this, back up everything beforehand, test it out, see how it works, and see what they are. So what this means is that you've now got two options. Where do we do that upgrade or that migration to claims? Well, we can either do it in 2010, or we can do it in 2013. We've got a bit of a choice as to what we can do there. So what we could potentially do is, if we're in 2010, that's easy. We can run a script, which I'll show you shortly, which can upgrade us into claims, resolve all those issues associated with that, then take those content databases across. If we want to do it in 2013, what we could do is deploy a web application that is in classic mode. Take our classic mode content DB, attach it into that web application, obviously with all the customizations and all that deployed, etc. Make sure that works. Then we can convert that web application in a supported manner two claims as a separate project. Okay, so it's, you know, two different ways of doing it. So in order to do this, the script is directly out of TechNet. It basically does, gets the web application, says that it wants to use claims authentication, sets it to true, does an update of the web application, sorts out some policies with regards to the user account, migrates the user with the value of true, and then it provisions us globally. Okay, so that's how you convert a web application in 2010 to claims. One-way street, you can't revert it back, back up everything before you do it. In 2013, that method or that approach has been completely deprecated. In fact, we prefer you not to use that anymore. So when you're doing your upgrade to claims in 2013, what we do is that we convert the web application to claims, where we've got the option to basically retain permissions and all that, and et cetera, in there. So it's a lot cleaner, a lot easier. It's a different approach for doing it. And hence, this is the reason why I was saying is that if we wanted to take your content database as a classic and put it into web application as a classic, this is a good way of doing it. So you basically have like a temporary classic web application to then convert. You could then attach or move that content DB to your real location that you want to have that claims-based web application running. Okay, so kind of treat it as a temporary staging area if you wanted to. Okay. Right, so upgrade site collections. So this is getting into the third step that we need to worry about, okay, once you decide when you're going to do your claims, et cetera. So what we've got is that we've got this concept of a deferred site collection upgrade approach. So what this means, kind of been hinting at this, is that we can take our 2010 sites and they will work exactly out of the box as if they, you know, as if they were in a 2010. And this is why we say we don't have any versions of SharePoint on the server, because we've got a layout of that 14 root laid out on the file system for us. Now, one of the questions that sometimes comes up, so I'm going to beat you to it, is what version of SharePoint is it? You know, what's the patch level of that? It doesn't really matter, okay? So it's basically the out-of-the-box install bits that we provide with you. The key thing about this is that the assemblies that are in there are not actually contained in the 14 root. All it is basically just the straight files that we've got in there. Okay, so they're actually, you know, like the text files, like the .as, .px files, the .js, the .css files, etc. There's no actual binaries in there. So this replaces what we used to call have the visual upgrade. So when we went from 2007 to 2010, we could have what we call the visual upgrade. So you could see that, you know, visual representation. That whole concept is gone. Okay, we don't have that anymore. So this is kind of what we regard as being the spiritual successor, and it provides a safer process in order to get there. Kind of hitting on this, it does provide a really, really deep backwards compatibility on doing the upgrades for it. Okay, so you can have all your 14 features side by side with your 15 features. I'm going to take you through how that works. And all your existing customizations should work just fine, provided that your developers followed all those recommended guidelines. Right, okay, we already trust our developers. I mean, I can say that, I mean, I'm a developer at heart as well, so I can say that. So what will happen is that when we go to attach the databases, the other thing will happen is that by default, all of our site collections will not be upgraded. So we're going to put them into this deferred upgrade state. What we can do, though, as part of our upgrade process, if we don't want to worry about this step, is that we can force the site collections to be upgraded as part of our upgrade process as well if we wanted to. So we have got that approach that we can do there. So we've also got this interesting thing that we can do. We can go through and do an evaluation site collection. So we can say, right, I want to see how this works if I was to actually upgrade this site. Okay, so this is pretty neat kind of experience. So it's a bit like, you know, how we used to do the preview. You used to go through, you used to preview it, okay, and I'd change all the style sheets and kind of went, yeah, and people went, how do I get back, started to panic, etc. This actually does a slightly different approach. It will upgrade the site, but it's still going to preserve the existing one. So what it will do is it will make us what we call a side-by-side copy of the existing site collection. So if you're using SQL Server Enterprise, it will do a database snapshot. okay? Because one of the issues you've got is that when you're trying to, like if you're doing content deployment, not that we should be doing content deployment because we hate that process, one of the issues that used to happen with that is that people would be making changes while we're trying to, you know, push stuff out. Same thing with this. What we want to do is get the whole content database to be in a static state. So what we want to do is snapshot that particular database that we've got so nobody can make changes with it while we do something with it. So this is actually a really, really good reason why you should be running SQL Server Enterprise. I know there's a cost difference, licensing implications, et cetera, as well with this, but this is a really, really good reason. So if you are going to be doing an upgrade and you're going to do this deferred site collection, Enterprise can certainly help because it makes life a lot easier. Because if you don't have Enterprise, what it will do is that it will do a SharePoint backup of that site. And you're going to, it will basically put that site in read-only, do the backup, and then it'll put it back to read-write again. Because we need everything to be static, okay? So, you know, it makes it a bit, you know, good reason to go Enterprise. We can also go through, as part of doing this evaluation site, the other thing I should have mentioned is that this is another option as well. So if from the SharePoint administration perspective, we can say, do we want to allow this functionality or do we not want to allow this functionality? So we've got some different controls around it. What it will then do, we can get email notifications that can be sent back because essentially this is regarded as being quite an expensive type operation. So what we don't want to do is kind of, you know, hog all the resources, and it could take a couple of days or whatever before the evaluation site becomes available. So hence we need the email notification behind it. If we're doing this via PowerShell, it does become an optional thing. But there is an attribute that you can put in your PowerShell commandlet to say send me an email when it is actually done. So if we've got SQL Server Enterprise, the way that this works is the following. If we've got a site called foo that's sitting in there, we can come through and we've got a little timer job which comes off and says, I want to create an evaluation site. The first thing we'll do is take a snapshot of that database, of your content DB. How many DBAs are in the room? Okay, we've got a few. Some of you starting to think, capacity? Okay, think capacity, okay? Because essentially you're doing a snapshot of that. That's going to take up additional space. Okay, so once again, if you're going to allow this type of functionality, do put some, you know, governance and thought in for what we're going to be doing here. So we take a snapshot of that. What we'll then do is that we'll clone that SP site. So we've taken a snapshot of that content DB, and what we'll then do is copy foo back into the original content DB as another site, but it'll be called foo-eval. Okay, does that make sense? So we're taking the snapshot, and we're going to go through all the tables, not that we should be telling you that we've got tables such as all sites, all webs, all docs, because nobody's allowed to touch the content DBs, eh? Okay, so we're going to take those, push those back into the real content database. So once again, capacity issues here. If you've got, for example, a 1 terabyte site collection, some people have, okay, not a good idea. Okay, you're going to do a snapshot of that, so you need space for that. Then you're going to take that 1 terabyte site collection and put that back into your content DB. Okay, so, so the DBAs in the room are probably thinking, this space, okay? So this does need to be planned, et cetera, associated with this. So now that we've got this clone site, what it then does is that it goes through and updates the sitemap that we've got sitting in the configuration DB. Okay? This is how we can get orphans, by the way. Not through this process, because the sitemap contains what are the known sites. So we could have a content database which has got a site in it which is not contained in the sitemap. That's basically what a definition of an orphan site is. So what it'll do is the timer job will then kick through. It will put the eval site into the sitemap, so that now becomes available. It will then go through, look at these sites, make sure they're okay, come down, make sure that's all okay from the eval site perspective, and then we'll go through and delete that snapshot for us. At this point in time, we can now go in and actually have a look at our evaluation site and test it out to make sure it looks okay. That's a pretty cool process, right? So we've actually upgraded a site and left the original one there so you can go through and actually have a look at it. Now, the other thing too is that these evaluation sites are fully functional. You can do whatever you want to them. So if you are in the eval site, there is a bit of a, there is a message bar that comes up and gives you a warning about it. Don't save your production data back in it, because when you decide to get rid of the evaluation site, it's going to be deleted. Okay, so make sure your users understand that. Okay, so the way that we can do this is that we've got this thing called site collection modes. So what we've got as part of a lot of the files and all the stuff that kind of goes behind the scenes, I mean, a lot of the stuff is for reference for you guys. Oh, 14 minutes, okay, that's cool. I'm going to do a demo of this as well, which will hopefully work, is that we're going to, basically we've got 14 mode and the 15 mode. And so essentially when we're running in these different modes, it kind of isolates as to what we're actually looking at. So what this means is that if we're in 14 mode, we're looking at it like we're in a 2010 environment. If we're in 15 mode, we're looking at like we're in a 2013 environment. What this means is that when we're doing our development or our customizations, we can specify whether or not they're available in 14 mode or in 15 mode. Okay, so this makes it quite flexible and quite neat. But this makes it interesting from a feature perspective as well. So if you look at the feature fallback behavior, so because we've got the 14 root and we've got the 15 root sitting there, we have got a lot of features that are in both locations. So the way that we kind of look at this is that if we're coming in 14 mode and do a lookup, look at the feature list, and we've got a 2010 only feature, it will sit there and work just perfectly. If we've got a 2010 feature replaced by a 2013 feature, when we're coming in 14 mode, we will find it, it's all good. If we've got a deprecated feature, we will find it when we're in 14 mode. But when we come in under 15 mode, we've got a couple of different options. We can actually have features that are only specific to 2013. Okay. However, if we've got a 2013 feature which replaces a 2010 feature, what will happen here is that there'll be exactly that same feature definition sitting in the 15 root. It kind of looks at 15 before it then goes down and looks at 14. So what we do is that we've deprecated, we'll replace that feature, so we've got new functionality there. Because of this, this is how we can actually come in 14 mode, get some stuff to work. We can come in 15 mode and get different types of stuff to work based on this. So once again, if we get a deprecated feature, what we do is that there will be a feature definition in there in the 15 root, but that feature will be marked as visible equals false. It won't then go looking down in the 14 mode root for those. Does that kind of make sense? So look, it's getting down more for your developers to worry about. And once again, if you come in with a 15 mode and it's a 2010 only feature and we haven't hidden it or replaced it, it will basically drop down to the 14 root, go find the feature there and activate it, etc. So let's get into the demo. And my screen has locked, so I'm just going to enter my password without showing you this time. Because we have to have ridiculously long passwords at Microsoft. Okay, cool. Hopefully that's all right. Okay, so anybody remember this? Okay, I come back in here and I get completely lost, okay? It's like, where's the site actions gone, etc. So all I've done is that I've gone through, created a 2010 team site, okay? I've called it TechEd 2013. Hopefully that's not going to be too confusing. And this is running in classic mode, straight out of the box vanilla. But because I know that you guys aren't going to trust me, let's go through and edit this page. Hopefully this is still warm. Come on. Okay, let's go through and edit the page. And what I thought I'd do is just get somebody to call out some random text so I can prove that, this is, I'm rolling up my sleeves here. Okay. I can really type that, okay. In fact, I probably... Good. Okay, I'll show you a little trick. Okay, this is going to do something a little bit different. How many people know about this?
Equals RAM 22.
Yeah, you've got it. Okay. Does anybody know about that? Well, obviously you do, okay? Okay. That feature's actually been in Word since about version 2. It's a great way for writing documents.
It used to generate more
emits and deletes. Yeah, I know. That changed. Yeah, it actually looks at what you're doing and tries to guess as to what type of help it should provide. So I'm just going to grab some random text, okay? I'm going to put that in there. Okay, and we had a fun night last night, so what the other thing we're going to do is we're going to insert, and these guys are going to hate me for this, a picture. Hopefully this will work. I'm going to browse. Okay, pictures, that'll do. Go okay. Okay, yep. It was a great time last night, wasn't it? Ta-da! Okay, so I'm gonna put that in there, okay? So save that. Okay, so, you know, we've got some text, random stuff. I've never met this gentleman before. We didn't, you know, tee up that we're going to have this random bit of text. Okay. So I've created that. That's my 2010 environment. I've got this new site. What I need to do now is I want to do a backup of this in SQL. So I need to go through. Now, who went to the SQL optimization? Yeah. Don't you love the naming? Now, it's very, very easy to go through and actually find the database I'm looking for. So I simply go down to my 2014, and I know straight away that that's going to be the database I need to back up. SP14 for 2010, F1 content, TechEd 2010. So I'm just going to go through and back that database up. Back up. That's what I want to do. Okay, and go okay. Now, what I've got over in my 2013 environment is I've already gone through and created a web application called TechEd 2013, which is different from a TechEd 2010. I've kind of cheated a little bit. I've already gone through and created a database, which I've deleted because I wanted to create that for the web application. So if I jump back into SQL, sweet, that's done. Okay, I've got my database, because I'm using the same database server, is if I go back to content, I've created just an empty database called F1 Content TechEd 2013. So I'm going to restore that database into this one. It's just a way to kind of using one SQL server without actually having to copy stuff across and muck around with that. So because I'm actually changing the name, etc., of that, I've already gone through, I can do this through the configuration wizard. But essentially, what I've done is just clicked on script this. The key thing here is that I am doing the altered database. I'm setting it into single rollback, so I keep it isolated for itself. I'm then restoring that database, which is the F1 content, back in there. Sorry, that's just a little bit hard to see, isn't it? See if I can zoom that up a little bit for you. Okay. And then what I'm saying is that I'm going to restore it back from the disk, which is a file that I've already got there. But in particular, I'm going to move the names of those databases from the SP14 to the new log files. So the DBAs know all about this type of stuff. It's pretty straightforward to do. I'm just basically overriding everything and putting that through. So provided that I've got this all working okay, I'm simply going to run that. So I've taken the backup of that database that I just created from 2010, and I'm going to restore it over the top, hopefully. Core stack. What? Oh, duh, stop. Okay. Okay. I just need to hit execute, not debug. Okay, so that should go through. Is that going? Okay, sorry, it's executing query. Okay. I'm not used to these PlaySQL style screens when they promote them up here. I'm used to having a lot more real estate, etc., under there. Okay, so just to go through that, what I'm basically doing is taking the 2010 database, I'm restoring it over the top of a database which is for 2013, and this is a thing that I want to take through and do. Now, I forgot to do something. What have I forgot to do? Not pre-size, that kind of goes without saying. I mean, it's dev. No, convert to claims. So basically, I've got two different approaches here. Generally, the guideline that we prefer people to do is do the claims upgrade in 2010 prior, okay, just to keep it a little bit easier. So I'm going to go back to my 2010 environment, and I'm just simply going to go through and just run this PowerShell script, which is going to update this to claims. So I'm going to run that. That will take a few seconds to do. So while that's running, I can probably field a question. He suddenly looked up from his camera.
Will the entities be the same on the new SharePoint?
They should be the same. There's no change there because your content database is still, I mean, the way that Metal works is looking at basically what are the lists and, you know, columns and all that are in there. They should all exactly be the same. At the back there? That's one of the issues. So will InfoPath work with claims? Yeah, so the question was, if you've got an InfoPath form, will that work with claims authentication? I need to come back to you on that. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. You should have come to stump the experts last night. You would have won a prize. Okay. No, not easily. So basically, that's one of the other things you need to go through and do a tidy up. So, the question was to repeat it. We're advocating to go with hostname site collections, so moving away from multiple web applications, etc. So essentially, if you want to do an upgrade and go to the hostname site collections, it's two separate projects, two different ways of doing it. Okay, that's finally gone. I need to go back and run my backup again. So if I go to, I'll come back and answer you. I saw some other hands go up for questions before, so I'll run the backup again. Sorry, task, backup. Backup, 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 backup. Where am I going? Done, backup. Okay, go okay. Dun, 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 dun. That shouldn't take too long. Should just be claims. I should actually check to make sure that thing still works, but I'm being very trusting. I'm going to go back here, execute that. Okay, well, I'm then going to jump across to my 2013 environment. I've created the web application, which I've already mentioned. What I've got is I've got the command that's already set up, ready to go. So as soon as that database has gone through, I'm running the test SP content database, specifying what is the name of the database I want to test it against, and then the web application that I want to check to make sure it's going to work against. So hence, if you're doing your customizations, they should be deployed to that web application that we've got there. So just jumping back, is that finished? Executed successfully, so that's good. Go to 2013, and I'm going to run that, hitting F8, and that's going to go through and just check. Now, that was a vanilla out-of-the-box site. It's gone back and it's got with claims authentication. It's trying to attach us against a classic authentication mode. I thought I'd already done the restore on that. That's interesting. Okay, so I'm going to do what most people do. Continue on. And ignore the errors. Don't try this at home. Don't let your children out of your sight. Okay. And come back and have a look at that later. Now, this will take a few minutes. So what it will be doing behind the scenes here, if I go into my central admin and go into my upgrade and migration, if I go into the check upgrade status, it should be telling me that I've got an upgrade actually running. So this is actually quite clever and quite cool. So if, you know, from the central admin, I can actually see what the actual upgrade process is. As you can see, I've run a number of these in the past. I've got a couple of warnings. I just need to refresh that. And I'm over time. Okay. This is going to take a little. This will probably take about probably about five minutes to run through. So what I'll do is I'll keep an eye on that in the background. I've only got a couple more slides, which you're going to laugh at. Which is, whoops. We do the upgrade. We go to the summary, and we say that what we've looked at. Which is hopefully that you've been able to understand the upgrade process. We've got this database attached, we've got claims migration, we've got this deferred site collection. I want to show you that. So I know I'm running over time, so if people want to leave, that's fine. If not, I'm happy to keep going. People want to stay? Yes. Okay, cool. Fantastic. Okay, let's go back. Okay. Upgrades are cool. In progress.
How much did you print last
month? Have you seen my Facebook photos? It's all Victor's fault. He wanted to have some whiskey. That's good. So I can take some questions while this is running. Yep. Yep, so Kerberos has no impact from a claims perspective. It works exactly the same. Okay, so yeah, that's all good. If you had a retention policy, if that is stored in, sorry, yeah, so the question is, if you had a retention policy in place, that would be restored and maintained. So the key thing is that it's stored in the content database. Okay, so all of that information will come through. So that should be retained when it comes through.
Is there any chance my state machine workflow will work?
Yes, okay, so the question is, will my state machine workflow work? Once again, it should work, because once again, that information, if it's a 2010 workflow, that information is stored within the content database, and that's what you're taking through. So the issue there is that if you've got external systems, you know, that you're doing different stuff with, you know, keep them in sync and stuff like that. So, yep. Any other questions? This is still running. I must admit, I've had a bit of an interesting week. Okay. On Sunday night, I went to pick Victor up from the airport, and just before I left, my laptop blue screened. Monday morning went into a perpetual blue screen loop because of my SSD drive, so on Monday afternoon I had to rebuild my laptop. And because I decided to go with Windows 8.1, because it's been released internally to us, I've had to upgrade all my virtual machines as well to get the new virtualization stuff that's come. So, fun week. Sorry? Yep. So the question is, if you do an attach, can you restore for a 2010? You'd need to mount it, and that will. Sorry. So when you mount the database, as part of doing that, that will upgrade the schema. Okay, and then it will be in 2013 mode. Yep. And then you could do it that way. Okay. So this is taking far too long. Oh, it succeeded. Oh, okay. I'm good. Okay, so what I should be able to do now, go to 2013. Hopefully this will be up and running, provided everything works. And we should see that 2010 site that we had looking exactly like 2010, but running in SQL, running in SharePoint Server 2013. What we should then also see is a nice little bar across the top. And unfortunately, some of the marketing people have got a little bit funky with some of the wording around this. Okay, and some of it's quite entertaining as to what you can actually say and do with regards to these upgrades. So, go. I can take this another, I'm 5 minutes over, I'm following the tradition. At the back there. Yeah, I know, but it's a bit of a capacity issue as well. So I totally agree that the snapshotting doesn't do a complete. The issue is that when it puts it back in, it's going to increase the size that way. That's easy. Okay. So I'm gonna hack it because I can. I'm gonna go here, use a policy. It's good being a SharePoint admin.
Who came up with working model? Yes. Honestly,
Yeah, it's actually quite funny when we're going through the internal releases of this, because we can update our link status internally. People that were on the know would have working on it, and then doing the dot, dot, dot. It was quite funny. And then you'd get the, oops, something went wrong. So I'm just going to do an add user. Yeah. Okay. So I'm doing something very, very naughty. Okay. Full control. I can get around you, SharePoint. Doing okay. Access denied. Now, the reason behind that is obviously because of the claims. It didn't do the migration properly. Something went wrong there. Oh, go back to site. Hitting a refresh on the same access denied page is going to give me the same message. Oh, sorry. Okay. This is going to take a few seconds to come up. I don't believe you guys are diehard SharePoint people, you know? It's the last session, you're staying late. I don't believe it.
If you were upgrading from 07 to 13, would you have to do it directly, or would you have to go to
Okay, what do you think the answer is? You have to go to 10. So I actually, this is a bit of a side story. Somebody asked me, what do they need to do to go from 2003 to 2013? Run. That's your answer. You have to go from 2003 to 2007 to 2010 to 2013. Okay? There's no upgrade direct path in there. And that's still doing the circle. Okay. Diehard people. So has everybody had a good tech ed? Yeah? Good. And this has been the best track, eh?
It's been pretty good.
It's I want that prize back. Okay, I can take some other questions. Anything? It doesn't have to be related to upgrades. Quite happy. Woohoo! Faked. It's because it pulled up the wrong backup, because I backed it up when I was doing my run before. Okay. But anyway, do you love the wording? Experience all that SharePoint has to offer now. Start now, remind me later. I'm going to start now. So this is going to go off. Don't you love the wording? Prepare for takeoff. We'll start with a few pre-flight checks. So what it's going to do as part of doing this upgrade process is going to go through, check the site collection again, make sure that everything's in place, and if there's any hard blockers, it will actually stop the upgrade from happening as well. So we're going to go through. We're going to do an upgrade. I'm ready. Let's hold off. I think marketing must have been to a geek fest the night before when they came up with this. Okay, I'm ready. So it's, what it's doing now is it's going through. Yeah, it's processing, yeah. So what it's doing is going through and running some of these health pre-health rules on there, make sure everything's fine. Once again, if it's got a hard block. Okay, beer o'clock. Thank you.